This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You do more than you realize to take care of your child's health. Scheduling appointments, remembering to schedule appointments, requesting refills, picking up prescriptions, paying co-pays, signing up for health insurance without missing your open enrollment. Actually, this list is longer than I was even thinking. There is more to your kid's health than teaching them to eat well and helping them live a healthy lifestyle. Teach your kids to be responsible for their own health and their own medical care. That's what we're going to talk about today. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the pediatrician next door. I'm that doctor friend you call for practical advice about your kid's health. I mix the science of medicine with the reality of parenting. As parents, we have to teach our kids to manage their own medical care at some point. And it's not just to make sure they can care for themselves. I mean, that's important. Your college student does need to know what to do when he's sick, and your daughter needs to manage her period pain, and your elementary school kid needs to know when to tell you that they don't feel well. These kinds of things are important, but there are even more important reasons to teach your kids about managing their health. You might actually prevent them from the consequences of chronic illnesses or even save their life. I've asked a dear friend of mine to share his story to explain what I mean by this. His family has been passing on a kind of a genetic disease that they weren't aware of. This is Thad Hamilton, and I'm going to let him tell his story.
The way that I found out we had the genetic mutation is that my sister passed away in 2007 from gastroesophageal cancer. Her cancer actually started a little higher than in the bottom of her stomach, which is a little bit more common for it to be at the bottom. But she, from the time she was diagnosed to death, it was about 6 months. So it's aggressive, and usually it's caught very late stage. At that time, we still did not know that it was a gene mutation and that it was genetic, but we really should have. At the time, the doctors were telling us it's very random. You know, normally this cancer attacks Asian men in their 50s. So the fact that she got it is just bad luck. And we don't recall there being any conversations about genetics. As soon as I was diagnosed with cancer, though, obviously all the doctors, they knew right away that since my sister had died, that it was genetic. So, you know, even though I did all the genetic testing, we already knew it was going to come back that way. And my grandpa, my mom's dad also had gastric cancer but he got it when he was much older. So that would have been another signal for our family. And so information that I would share with other families is that take a look at your grandparents' death certificates and see what they died of. And if you can, you know, get any of their health history, it's going to be helpful information. And it's meaningful to, you know, grandkids for sure, because some of these genetic mutations will skip generations. And, you know, frequently our kids don't even know our grandparents' middle names, let alone their medical history.
Your first step to helping your kids to manage their own healthcare is for you to even know your own family history. Their health starts with their genetic predispositions and diseases that run in your family. Thad had some advice regarding this.
For kids, then what I would do is that I would write down all of the things that you know about in the family from a family tree perspective. So in my opinion, I would at least give them a foundations of information so they go to their doctor. When you sit down and the doctor said, so tell me about your health history, you actually have real information to share. I met a lady named Karen Chalkin-Schreiber, and she and I share the same genetic mutation, but the idea that she had during Gastric Cancer Awareness Month in November was, in her opinion, and I think it's a good idea if you could do it, is that every Thanksgiving when the family gets together, you share any important health updates that you think could be genetic so that everybody's aware of any changes that have happened. And then when you go in for your annual physical, when the doctor asks you what's different, you have an answer. It's not just nothing, and then you move on to the next point.
The message here is to talk about health issues because they can have consequences for your family members. You need to know if autoimmune diseases run in your family, like who has thyroid disease, does type 2 diabetes run in your family? And as morbid as it sounds, and as Thad pointed out, you need to know what your family members died from. We're going to hear more of Thad's story and the lessons he can share in a little bit. Of course, you can't just blurt out to your three-year-old, you know, grandpa died from a heart attack when he was 42. That obviously it could keep a kid up at night, or they may not understand or even care. But you do need to gradually teach your kids, even from a really young age, to be prepared to take over their own healthcare at some point. You can't be responsible for their health for the rest of their lives. So like everything else that you teach them things like this in stages. I'll get to preparing kids to leave home or go to college and managing lifelong healthcare for kids with special healthcare needs after the break. But first, let me share some of the things you can teach your kids and at what age to start helping your kids to manage their own healthcare. You really can start as early as age 3 to give your kids a sense that they have control over their own health. Let kids make medical care choices early on. Even a 5-year-old can choose which flavor medication they want from the pharmacy or which arm to get an IV in. This makes them feel like they're heard, and it can even make them more cooperative. Teach them about the medications they take. In a 3-year-old, you might say something really simple like, this inhaler helps with your breathing. That's all they need to hear about their inhaler at that young age. But they need to hear some reason and some description of why they're using it. As a child gets older, you can start to be more specific when explaining their medicines. For example, you might expand what you're saying to say something to an older child like, this inhaler is for your asthma. It helps open your airways. Children should know what medications they take. At some point, they will be at a play date or a birthday party, and they might need to know they have allergies or asthma. What about who should be responsible for making sure a child takes their medicine? This is a tough one. It depends on the medication and the importance of not missing a dose. I do think parents should largely be responsible for making sure their kids take a medicine until a kid is probably around 14 years old. Expecting anyone younger than that to remember to take a medicine every day is a really big ask, and it's not really their responsibility when they're younger. I know some parents who let their kids be responsible for their insulin or for their asthma prevention medications, and it tends not to go very well. Kids sometimes just decide they don't want to take the medicine anymore, but they don't tell their parents of their unwise decision. As far as things that kids should know goes, kids should know if they have any specific diagnoses. You can use simple words to explain their health conditions and have them repeat the words back and let them ask questions if they don't understand. And always be honest about their diagnoses. Do they have ADHD or anxiety? If you don't tell your kids about these diagnoses and they find out later, they might feel like you are hiding something that they should be ashamed of. Talk openly about the treatments they get, including mental health treatments like therapy. You might talk about this by saying something like, we're going to see somebody who can address what's been going on so we can help you. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that, but you should talk about it. Okay, at the doctor's office. You can help your child start taking over their healthcare around age 11 or 12. Here's some things you can do. Let them check themselves in and stand next to them to help them. And if you're updating your insurance information, this is a good time to talk about how health insurance works. I mean, I don't know how health insurance works. I'm not really sure anyone does, but you can at least show them their insurance card, or if you know how health insurance works, maybe you can explain it to me. Let kids help you prepare for their visit by getting together any forms they need filled out. That way, they might actually help you remember to bring their sports physical form or their scouts form in the future, because you know how often we forget these when we're on our way to the doctor's office. Let your child try to answer the doctor's questions on their own. Encourage them to ask and answer questions themselves. Make sure the doctor talks directly to your child at some point during their visits. The doctor should tell them about an illness or treatment, even if it's only brief and in the simplest terms. Plus, your child's more likely to go along with a plan if they understand why they have to do it. And let your kids spend time alone with their doctor after about age 12. They may not actually have anything to talk about, but it helps your child to create a relationship that you might need them to have in the future. You never know what might come up, and your pediatrician can be really helpful when things get tough in like middle and high school. There are things like bullies and feelings and fears, and your pediatrician can help with this, especially if they have a good relationship with your child. It's always good for your child to have one more trusted adult in their life. All right, if your child needs a vaccine, this is a good time to talk about their immunization record and which vaccines they might need in the future. Doing all of these things shows your child that you think taking care of their health is important. It shows that you trust your child to take over their care one day, and it helps them to feel like they have power over their own health. Take opportunities when you're seeing the doctor to walk your child through the process and the steps. Next, we're going to talk about specific knowledge that your kids need to take care of their own health. So what did you do about your own son?
He was genetically tested, and he is positive with the CDH1 gene mutation, so he'll likely do a total gastrectomy sometime between the age of 20 and 30, and he's 21 right now.
Because of the CDH1 gene mutation in Thad's family, anyone who carries the gene has to decide when they're going to have their stomach removed to prevent getting stomach cancer. Health decisions can be really complicated. Most of us are lucky enough that we don't have to schedule an endoscopy every few months or choose when and whether to have our stomach removed. That's what a total gastrectomy is. Thad's son is just finishing college right now. And while he's been away at school, he's had all the normal illnesses too. You know this. Your kids are going to get sick at sleepaway camp or at a sleepover and when they live away at college. I've made a checklist for you of the things that kids need to know to take care of their own health. Some of these are obvious, and some you might have missed. Here it is. First, make sure they know if they have any allergies. That one's easy. That's why it's first. Next, give them a copy of their immunization record and talk to them so they know what they're due for and when. You need a tetanus and a whooping cough shot every 10 years. So if they had one at age 11, they're probably going to need one again at age 21. Show them their healthcare portal and look through it with them. That's the thing that accesses their doctor's office. Make sure they can log in on their own. And after age 12, kids can access it themselves. And in college, they can use it to contact their doctor. Of course, talk with your child about their health history, including their birth history, any medical problems they had when they were younger, hospital stays, operations. My daughter had a kidney stone when she was 11, and I should have reminded her about that before she left for college. She might have another one, and she needs to know about what symptoms to look for and when she should go to the ER if it's very painful. Be sure your kids know how to call 911. You can even practice with young kids. Make sure older kids know the difference between an urgent care, an emergency room, and a clinic, and how to find those places. It's easy to do this if you're driving and you see one, so you can point it out or talk about when someone in your family had to go to the emergency room. I always like to talk to my patients before they move out of their parents' houses to make sure they know the difference between acetaminophen and ibuprofen and which to take and how much. I usually recommend ibuprofen, which is Advil or Motrin, because those last longer, but they can make your stomach hurt. So talk to your kids about this. If their stomach hurts when they take ibuprofen, acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, would be a better option. And naproxen, which is sold as the brand Aleve, is actually the best choice for menstrual pain. Take a trip to the pharmacy with your child and look at the shelves. Create a care kit with them. Maybe put Band-Aids, pain medications, and other essentials to supply when they might need it. Next on the list is to teach your child how to get a prescription refill. They should know the name of their pharmacy and the street it's on in case someone asks them about that. And if they need an inhaler or ADHD medications, talk to your child about letting you know when they're running out so you can get a refill on time. It sucks to run out of that stuff, and it can be a pain to get it in a hurry. The other thing to cover over time at any age is to talk about how your family makes health decisions and eventually talk with your kids about how alcohol and drugs can impact them. And talk about any of your family members who have had substance abuse problems. You know these can run in families. And this topic is kind of fun. Talk with your kids about their health goals and how to achieve them. Does your kid want to get exercise during college? Well, then help them figure out how to fit that into their schedule and where to go. Do they have a goal to eat healthy? Talk about how they can eat healthy lunches at school or in a dining hall. And don't forget the tough subjects. If you have mental health issues in your family, you need to talk about them. Your kids need to know if there's anxiety or depression in their family. It helps to normalize it, but it also helps them to watch out for it in themselves. And you need to talk about sexual health. And you need to do that gradually. Let your kids know that you can help them and you can help them find what options are available. Once your child is over age 18 and they're a legal adult, make sure they know who can access their health information. They can continue to include parents or caregivers if they want to by filling out a form at their doctor's office that allows their parents to access their information. So have them complete a release of information form at their 18-year-old well visit. What if your child can't be independent? Your pediatrician or a lawyer can help you with getting power of attorney or creating a conservatorship to allow family members to continue to be involved in your child's care. If this is the case for you, you can also get help from one of the diagnosis-specific groups. Like if your child has cystic fibrosis, the CF Foundation or other family advocacy groups are a good source of information for you. The last thing you can do is be a good role model. Show a positive attitude yourself about seeing your doctor and going for regular checkups. And in the case that your family has a special medical condition, involve your kids with charitable or advocacy work. In Thad's family, after his sister died from gastroesophageal cancer, they created a foundation that supported other families who were affected by the disease. Now they've broadened their efforts. They're working to advance and support research that will help families like theirs.
There's a gene mutation, and it's called CDH1, and it's gastric cancer based. And you have a gene called a CDH1 that's a tumor suppressor in your stomach. And people with the CDH1 gene mutation don't have that gene suppressor. So there's a fairly significant chance of getting gastric cancer, and it's signet ring cell adenocarcinoma, which is an aggressive cancer. And the way to avoid getting it is to have a total gastrectomy, a prophylactic total gastrectomy between the ages of 20 to 30. And if you don't do that, then right now the percentages of getting cancer are somewhere around a 70% chance of getting gastric cancer in your lifetime. We are funding clinical trials that show some promise is basically preventative chemotherapy. So to describe it in the layman's terms, somebody like Wyatt would go in, and when they do your endoscopy, they would, like a fire extinguisher, just spray this preventative chemo in the stomach lining to prevent the cancer from starting. but that's preventative chemotherapy, and that's kind of a, it's definitely not a standard of care at this point. The object is to keep your stomach as long as possible and not get cancer.
Is that Save Our Stomachs?
Yeah, the Save Our Stomachs marketing initiative is to specifically help fund that clinical trial, which is being run by Perry Guilford at the University of Otago, along with the NIH, and the primary doctor there is Dr. Jeremy Davis. He's a surgical oncologist, and he would be doing the preventative chemo. Perry Guilford's the one that founded the CDH1 gene mutation itself. So the other component of Save Our Stomachs is to fund his lab with an endowment at the college so that they can continue to do the research on the preventative things, because ultimately we want people to keep their stomach and not get cancer.
Thank you to one of my favorite people in the world. Thank you, Thad, for sharing your story. In so many families, people don't really talk about their health, and our genetics matter. In these times when so many of us are talking about mental health and the stigma and avoidance about those kinds of diagnoses, it's your job as a parent to be nosy. It's fine. Go ahead and ask family members what's new with their health. As Thad learned, one idea is to catch each other up at Thanksgiving on any health issues that might be genetic and dig into your family tree. Find out how your relatives died. Share this information with your kids as they get older and teach them all the ways they can manage their own health. If you would like more information about Save Our Stomachs, check the show notes. And if you have a story you'd like to share, send me a message at hello@pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com or visit my website, drwendyhunter.com. For more from the Pediatrician Next Door, find me on the web at pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com. If you've got a question about the weird things kids do, send an email to hello@pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com for a chance to hear your voice on the show. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the Pediatrician Next Door. This show is produced by Red Rock Music. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever it is you're listening. I'll be back next time with more.